Welcome to another episode of This Is Silly with the Lilligans. This is Mitch, Bradley.
Hey.
Matthew Bird.
Hello.
And we are, again, still doing this from home. We're probably getting close to a point where we can start doing it together again. But
I got to get out of the house next week.
it's got to be coming soon here, I think.
I'll bring the twins over. Let's do it. They've got to get out of the house.
Aaron and Ava are all for that idea. Bring the twins. Reb and Jane can bring the puppy, Brad.
Yeah, bring the new dog.
Yeah, everybody will be happy. We'll have a party here. I'll throw some meat on the smoker that day. And
beers on the patio.
No, I mean, we have done some kind of doomy and gloomy podcasts, and this one will be no different. But I will say I'm kind of... I don't know what I want to say. I'm pleasantly surprised that the numbers haven't jumped up the way I thought they would.
Yeah, I mean, especially after the incident at Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah, I mean, I still think we got to wait like another week or so for that one. But some of the states started opening up the beginning of May, and I mean, it's not good. There's still 1,000 people a day dying, but. It's, you know, some of the projections were by the beginning of June there it would be 3,000 a day. So that's good news. The league is, you know, rapidly approaching, you know, making some decisions about where we're headed. So
yeah, the story is online today from several sources. I saw, I think Jeff Reuter even posted that they had a league-wide meeting yesterday about reopening, and they're voting on Thursday.
So I mean, last week I really was sort of, we may not see soccer at all. Now I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe we will get, you know, some games in. So
the English Premier League is talking about starting up again.
Yeah, it does feel like there's some light at the end of the tunnel, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, let's, you know, knock on wood, barring, you know, the numbers don't start jumping up again, maybe we will have some play. I mean, I know Mitch and I got a phone call. I don't know if you did, Bird, this week from our ticket reps, kind of talking about some contingency plans. Like, I mean, obviously they're going to prioritize season ticket holders on who can come to the games. They probably won't sell any walk-up tickets because they need to keep the numbers down. They're talking about spreading out in the stands. They talked about maybe even, you know, taking the Lilligans from section 10 all the way to behind the goal. Another idea they talked about was putting some Lilligans on both sides, like opposite corners, just to kind of spread us out a little bit. I mean, so they're at least in the beginning phases of seeing how it would look,
yeah,
to have some games. So
no, well, you got to figure too. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Bird.
I was gonna say Jeremy's not my ticket rep, so Corey's my ticket rep, and if he ever needs to talk to me, he just shoots me a private message on Facebook anyway. But I presume he figured that I'm in the loop with you guys, and whatever Jeremy says, I'll find out anyway. So
well, yeah, and Jeremy actually said something like that today. Like, he's kind of put off calling some of the Lilligans till later because he knows we're in, you know, yeah. whatever in is. And that's kind of what I told him. He said, well, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? I said, Jeremy, you just tell us what we can do and we'll
make it work.
Yeah, because obviously the county's going to have all kind of rules for them to follow. I'm assuming it's going to be, you know, a masks, you know, on sort of thing, spread out 6 feet apart, all the, you know, general precautions. I don't know if they'll have concessions because that's a whole nother thing. But, you know, I basically told him, look, whatever the team decides, and then, you know, individuals will have to make their own decisions. Maybe some people aren't comfortable coming back yet. But I'm dying for some soccer. So,
yeah. And that,
as long as it's not a Lake of the Ozarks situation, I'm in.
Well, and the thing I keep coming back to with it is that, you know, it is getting to that point, and I don't mean to go against things that I've thought and said prior to today, but it is kind of like you mentioned, getting to that point of people are going to have to start making their own decisions on this stuff. Yeah. You know, it is no longer, you know, lockdown. They were saying on the news last night that the Uber Eats and those kind of places are starting to dial back their expectations now.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're not keeping as many people active as they needed to before because people are starting to get out and do things in a careful and cautious manner. And I do think that's the biggest part about this is that people adjusted slowly and some didn't adjust at all. But the majority of people have done the right thing, taking the right precautions, and it's paying off.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, obviously, anything, you know, things can change quickly, whether it be a true second wave or, you know, maybe it evolves into something different. But I think right now it's appropriate to start making these plans. And I mean, we're still a few weeks away, I'm sure. You know, they can't just vote tomorrow and then, you know, Saturday there'll be a game. But no, it's good that we're at least trending that direction.
I mean, absolutely. The idea was, you know, just flatten the curve. And I think we've done that to the as well as 330 million people can do. You know, as you said, Mitch, the majority of people have done the right thing. The majority of people have tried to, you know, change their behavior. But on the flip side of the coin, we all can't stay in our houses forever. You know, there has to be some semblance of normalcy at some point. You know, you can't keep a virus at bay forever. And I know that's harsh, but, you know, we can't stay in our houses forever.
Yeah, there will be at some point in time okay, you have to start getting exposures. The biggest part about flattening the curve isn't necessarily about the exposure. It's about the hospitals and the like being able to support the cases.
Correct. Yeah, you didn't want the hospitals to get swamped. And I, from what I'm hearing, they're kind of not anymore.
No.
Not in the majority of the cities anymore.
Yeah, Brad and I were talking before you joined that my coworker Jim, his wife is a heart surgeon nurse for surgeries, and they were obviously a little bit different. They didn't have a PPE problem because of their stock and preparedness, but they said that they're starting, you know, and obviously they're not an elective surgery place. You have a heart surgery, you have a heart surgery. That's all there is to it. But he was saying that their biggest problem is getting things like anesthesiologist supplies back up because of the requirements that were needed for medical comas and the like with that. But they're starting to see a return, not to normalcy, but to almost normalcy. And that alone is a huge positive sign, I think.
Yeah, and it's just sorry, Brad, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I'm pretty into my aviation and stuff, and there's just cargo flights flying all over the place, and I think that the medical supplies gig, it took a couple of weeks for it to really kick off, but as countries like South Korea and whatnot have dialed it back, and New Zealand don't need any more medical supplies, what was earmarked for those countries are now going to places that need it and that had shortfalls, and we're one of them, and the shortfall is easing off here.
And like Brad was saying too, coming back to how it relates to us, is that, you know, yeah, we are going to have to make some changes. Maybe we can't, you know, can't have beers in the stands, and maybe we can't do X, Y, and Z. But you know what? I'm willing to make a lot of sacrifices to have soccer back again.
Yeah, it'll change. It'll, you know, become something different. I'm sure the tailgates will be heavily modified. But, you know, we'll figure out a way to make it fun. We'll figure out a way to do our thing. And, I think everybody needs it. I mean, and then we can, you know, we can obviously talk about a little bit about Black Lives Matters, what's going on. You know, that's the dominant story now is the protests and, you know, people trying to do the right thing. I think this time around, I mean, because, hey, we've lived this scenario out several times, but this time around, it feels a little more positive. I think we're getting, you know, the league, you know, put out a statement. The team put out a statement. Lots of players are speaking out and their voices are being amplified, which is obviously, you know, what's needed now. We put out a statement, but, you know, it makes me wonder if this was going on right now, there'd be some good tupos and tifos and good arguments in the stands, because obviously not everybody is 100% on board with what's going on. But that is, you know, something that's affecting the league in the sense that, you know, players were, you know, our players are still, MLS did finally ratify their CBA and accept some terms for this season. We know our players, Players Association is struggling right now, trying to, you know, figure out what's fair in this, you know, obviously hampered economy. So we still have to go through that. And then on top of that, we're dealing with a lot of very personal struggles for players and what this means to them and how they need to be treated, not by soccer, but by society in general. So, you know, I mean, in a way it's a bad thing that we don't have the season to, you know, kind of give it a platform, but in a way with everything kind of shut down, I think it has allowed some people to actually think about what's going on.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I told you, I've been saying it for the last 3 weeks, that soccer has really taken a back seat in my life. And if it wasn't for the current turmoil, I think I'd still be anxious over the COVIDs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, we've not heard anything about the Rona for the last couple of days because it's all been about what's happening on the streets. And for good reason. I mean, I think that the future of the country takes precedence. But you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I know what it's like, because I don't. I sit here on a throne of privilege, and there's some people out there very close to us that have to deal with us on a pretty much a daily basis. And the best I can do is listen to them.
And that's one of the things, too. If you're not already, Sean Reynolds has been phenomenal on social media. You know, we know Sean well from playing here, but he is well educated on this. Learned the other day during one of his Instagram chats, I guess, that he has a cousin that has a doctorate in societal studies, and the information that he was sharing was fantastic. And Bird, you're absolutely right. We don't know. You know, we are, like it or not, middle class white people who don't have a lot of these issues facing us, but the opportunity to listen to somebody like Sean, who has a experience, who has a point of view, who can very well put it into words without devolving, without anger and frustration. I mean, the anger and frustration is there, but he can communicate it to the general public in a way that people can relate and listen and hopefully learn from it. So if you're not following it, it's definitely worth something to listen to with him.
Yeah. And, you know, in addition to Sean, a guy like Tyler David, a former player, he's had some stuff. I think actually Sean and Tyler even did a conversation.
Yep.
I wasn't exactly sure on that.
Yeah. It was fantastic. Again, you know, probably a little bit too much white guilt here, but listening to them, my heart was just struggling. You know, and I'm not even going to lie.
And I think that's the good stuff that's coming out of this. I mean, there's a lot of players stepping forward. One of the Charlotte Independence players wrote a piece for the USL website. I know our own Toby Adewale and some other players were on the Beautiful Game Network. They did an episode talking about a lot of these issues. And again, our job right now, as you know, as you mentioned, middle class white people, is to listen and is to hopefully learn some stuff and take this stuff in and then speak out when we can. But I you know, the point of our statement that the St. Lilligans made, it has very little to do with, you know, our group is predominantly white. And I think that's, you know, except in some southern cities and out west, a lot of the supporters groups in America are predominantly white. But we do have members that are people of color. We do have friends. We do have family. You know, America's a big country now, and we're all kind of in it together. And you just can't be isolated from it anymore. And you shouldn't be. So, you know, I'm thankful that we're getting an opportunity to hear some stories. I obviously wish it didn't come as a result of something so horrific that happened. But we got to do better. And, you know, if this is a baby step, you know, we're glad to take it.
I was lucky enough. We have a corporate meeting every Tuesday since, I mean, we're still pretty small. Our leadership can talk to the gen pop of my company pretty well. And our CEO, Jeff, is an amazing person to begin with. But, you know, strangely enough, the riot in Utah where Dollar Store Hawkeye's car was turned over and burned.
That stupid son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, but, you know, and I'll come back to him in a minute because that is actually where this is headed. You know, our company, our home office is in the background of some of the pictures the AP released. There's our logo, bright letters. And, you know, he said, we're a part of history now. And then he started talking about his own, you know, being a white guy in his 60s. He was at Berkeley in the 60s during those riots. And he's like, I got tear gassed. I got pepper sprayed. And it's awful. And if these people are willing to put themselves in that, just in that harm's way to stand up for the rights of others, we have to do better. And, you know, they flat out said, you know, we wish we had more people of color in our company, but, you know, there's just not that number in technology that we need to make a difference right now. But we need to invest in more programs like Black Girls Who Code and those kind of things that can get people out there. And it is about looking inward and seeing what you can do to help out. And you know, somebody brought up Dollar Store Hawkeye and how, you know, first he said two black guys jumped him and beat him up. And then the video comes out where it's a bunch of white people protecting the black people. And that is a prime example of what we need to do as, unfortunately, those privileged people. You know, let's step up. Let's do those kind of things and help out.
I think this, I think that's happening more and more. And I do think it's kind of a perfect storm with the coronavirus as well, because, you know, you've got, what is it, 20% unemployment now? People losing their health insurance left, right, and center during a pandemic. And everyone's hurting.
Yeah.
Everyone's hurting. And I think the there's two separate protests as well. And I think the unemployment and the economy's bad and, you know, the government's not doing anything has usurped this and kind of joined forces a bit, and it's all melded into one. And, you know, and I think it's just that it's a massive anti-government protest right now for various reasons.
And along the way, we've seen, I mean, just the fact that social media is ever present. We've seen some really good stories. We've seen some really nice moments of people coming together, you know, just like we talked about with the coronavirus. You know, we saw a lot of good stories where people were doing the right thing and taking care of each other and protecting each other. But we've also seen some very horrific videos of, you know, police continuing to abuse their power. And it's just not going to fly anymore, guys. I mean, the more people that see this, you know, it's indefensible. I mean, let alone the initial incident which sparked this, which today I'm happy to announce they came back and they upgraded the charges to second degree murder, and they actually are pressing charges against the other three officers that were there at the Floyd incident. But we've seen some really bad video come out of just, like I said, abuse of power. And hopefully, you know, sometimes you have to go through some shit to make things better. Hopefully that will lead to some changes. And I think, you know, slowly but surely, and I know it's never fast enough, and I know we should be well beyond this point by now, but we are seeing some good stories too. So my depression has been at an all-time high these last couple of days, but there really have been some stories that have got to me, and positive stories. And part of that is listening to the voices that are speaking up with their stories, their personal stories of tragedy and overcoming some things. And then part of it is watching these protests and watching, you know, people looking out for each other, and actually a lot of police officers, you know, walking with people and, you know, kneeling in protest. I mean,
I have really tried to emphasize that, Brad, on Facebook, especially, you know, the cops speaking out, the cops that,
because that's really what's going to change, you know, it's not going to change until the good ones stand up to the bad ones.
For sure. And I've really tried to emphasize that on Facebook. My Twitter and Facebook are kind of like Jekyll and Hyde right now, because I see a lot more of the police escalation of violence on Twitter. And I think, and I'll retweet that and I'll say this is disgusting. But then on Facebook, I see a lot more of the, what happened in Flint, you know, and things like that. And I'll retweet that, because they need to be heard. You know, those cops that are saying this is wrong, this is not what I signed up for, they need, that needs to get out there, because we need to hear that too. But I'm just holed up in my basement, bunkering down and seeing where the chips fall. But
I think also, you know, speaking of my depression, because we are kind of still isolated, and you go down these tunnels of ugly. We don't have our Saturdays where we get together and we can share a beer and we can all, you know, hug each other and have a laugh. That used to be what kept me sane, at least. Yeah. It's like, okay, no matter how bad Tuesday is, Saturday, I'm going to go have a beer and a laugh with my friends. So again, looking forward to a little bit of normalcy coming back. But yeah, trying to focus on some of the good stories and some of the important stories that we need to hear. And thank goodness that social media gives a platform to the players, the fans, the people that we know, that we see on a weekly basis. You know, I'm learning more about people that I know. I feel like I'm getting to know some of those people better, and that's a good thing.
Cannot agree more. Everything you said, I 100% stand with you on that one, because it is a community, and that's how these kind of things change, that it is through community actions. It's at work, you know, my boss saying that we need to do better. It's at home teaching your kids what is right and what is wrong. And
in a lot of cases, our kids teaching us, because
the kids
are smarter than the adults. And, you know, it doesn't take long to realize that the future is definitely going to be better than now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
because the kids have it figured out.
You look at, I mean, God love my daughter, and I don't mean to paint her in a naive way, but she's going into sixth grade, and she has multiple people of color in her class, Black, Indian, Chinese, Puerto Rican, and she doesn't understand racism.
Right.
Because it doesn't exist to them, because they just say, oh, that's Jayla. Oh, that's Kevin. Oh, that's whoever. You know, and, you know, we're adults. We grew up in different times. And, you know, you always hear people make excuses for grandma. Oh, she grew up in a different time.
Yeah.
Well, no, she didn't learn to change. And, you know.
But also, and I've thought about this a lot, Mitch is right. You know, grandma didn't go abroad either. Grandma didn't go to Sweden, or she didn't go to France, or she didn't go to New Zealand, where the Maoris live in harmony, and you know, she didn't go to the United Kingdom. I can't really use the United Kingdom as a good example, to be honest.
But
in the United Kingdom, the cops don't kill people.
Right.
You know, in France, the cops really don't kill people. In Germany, they don't kill people. And not on a whim, especially. And
which hold on for a second. It is still strange to me at my age that we hold up Germany as a tolerant society.
Yeah. Germany doesn't kill people anymore.
Yeah. But no, we keep seeing that on the news time and time again. Right. Like, there's demonstrations in Stockholm and Berlin and all these countries abroad that are having amazing protests on our behalf.
That may be the craziest thing ever. You know, seeing other countries protesting the human rights abuses in the United States of America.
We're a third world country to a lot.
We're a pariah right now. I think so. I think we're a pariah right now.
And if for nothing else, you know, get your shit together. You know, it's sad. And Matt, you were mentioning, you know, grandma didn't travel anywhere. Something else that's, you know, hugely important, and we've mentioned it several times, is with social media.
Yep.
The world travels to you. I mean, you know, Ethan had a kid. He was friends with a kid in Japan when he was in sixth grade playing video games on Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, that was unheard of. And by the way, that kid spoke better English than my son.
Well, you are in Jefferson County.
That's true. But the world is coming to you. You, like I said it earlier, you can't avoid it. You can't just sit in your little pocket, and you know, there is no Mayberry anymore.
No, because as soon as you get on your Xbox console or YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, Aaron and I were laughing about it last night that frequently on social media, I'm talking to Paul in England. I'm talking to Gerard in Sweden about hockey. You know, if you would have told sixth grade Mitch that was an option, he would have laughed. He would have been like, no way.
Or even to know what's going on in Berlin.
Yeah.
It wasn't a thing. Now I can pull up Google News top stories. I know what's going on everywhere in the world.
Part of it is we only had four channels in the newspaper.
That's true.
But it is true. I mean, I could go to my server and I can watch the BBC from London. I can watch, you know, channels.
Porn from Singapore.
Well, yeah. But that's in the hidden folders.
Oh, okay.
But I can watch all these channels beamed right into my house. From other countries.
Stuart Holgren today tweeted out that there was a lot of German action on today. I'm like, what are you watching?
So, I mean, obviously, again, you know, our podcast is about the horrors of the world. But, I mean, little glimmers of hope here and there.
And again, in no way does anything we've said demoralize or demean or minimalize what is going on. These things have to happen. There are changes that have to happen.
You know
you're reading stories about some of these cops putting down their shields and taking a knee, and some guys quitting the force saying, I can't be a part of that.
And something, you know, very small that has been before we released our statement, you know, I think I told you, Mitch, I said, okay, I'm going to hit enter. Let's brace for impact. Because I was expecting more people to say, oh, stick to sports, or, you know, I don't follow you because I want to hear your political views or whatever. Very little of that.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few on the St. Louis FC one.
Right, but not a bunch there either. A few years ago, it would have been more.
And
you know what I mean?
Funny too, because if you go and look at the Blues and Cardinals, their little joint statement, they actually were getting trashed by a majority of people saying
it wasn't strong enough, right?
You know that, you know, they're playing to the you know, the basically the bigots,
right?
You know, And
yeah, it was very milquetoast, wasn't it? It was very milquetoast. Yeah,
it was, and I was disappointed. And let's be honest, they both of those franchises have a history of not necessarily doing the best thing, that, you know, canceling Pride Night but still having Christianity Night and, you know, those kind of things. There's a lot of steps they need to improve on. But I was really proud to see St. Louis FC put out a strong enough statement that said, you know, hey, you know, they have,
and it included the hashtag Black Lives Matter. That is sort of a demarcation in some of these statements we're seeing.
Yeah, and you know,
some people try to avoid it as best they can, but St. Louis FC and Jim Cavanaugh.
Yes, Jim was very, very adamant. And but let's also look, Worldwide Technology, their chairman is a black man.
But I'll say that his business partner is right there on the forefront.
Yeah. 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 And I know David Stewart, and he is a man that puts his money to work for the community, both black and white in St. Louis. And it is something that, you know, it makes a difference. So I am incredibly proud of our leadership that they didn't take the easy way out, that they took a stand and did the right thing. And again, when we're at the tailgate, you know, the officers that are working the game always come down and say hi. They are our friends. We know they're good guys, you know. And I hate to get on this tangent for a moment, but, you know, they always say a few bad apples. Well, finish that statement. A few bad apples spoil the bunch.
Right.
And those good cops that we know, like the gentlemen that work at our games, like my friend Greg, like Eric Von Nita, these guys that do step up and do the right thing, hopefully they lead the change internally as well to make it better for everybody.
All right. let's actually talk about soccer.
Somebody's at the door, Brad.
I know. I got all these devices going off. I don't know what I'm doing.
You're old.
I'm old. I do want to mention that we mentioned it earlier, but I do want to say again, the MLS has ratified their CBA. There were some concessions made for this season, obviously, because I think Garber came out today and said, you know, revenue is going to be down $1 billion for MLS this year, to which somebody said, oh, just make a new expansion team. But obviously, you know, times are tight for any business now. So the players are going to take a pay cut for the remainder of the season, and they are going to try to put together this tournament in Orlando. I don't know if it's the best idea, but again, everybody's trying to find something that works. So they're thinking, you know, in a 3 weeks, a month, they're going to head down to Orlando and have this tournament at the ESPN complex down there. We know NWSL have agreed to do their tournament in Utah, I believe. Mm-hmm. Not all the players have agreed to do it, but some of the players, or most of the players. So they're going to do also a closed door tournament. I don't think that's the way USL is going to go. From what I hear, I think they're going to try to do home games because, let's face it, they need the gate revenue.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We talked about that on the last show, that's probably something that has to happen.
Right. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Obviously, you know, nothing is set in stone, but with the MLS players sort of ratifying their CBA, and that now runs through 2025, so it will cover at least the first few years of MLS for the Lou. We won't have a lockout or a strike, you know, within the first couple of years anyway. So good for that. Now it's going to be interesting to see if the USL Players Association can maybe piggyback off of that, take some guidance from what the MLS, you know, players got, and use that to help them hammer through their CBA. Well, I guess it's not technically a CBA yet. They're trying to get a CBA that is agreed to by them and the league. But, you know, we're going to have to wait and see, because we know that professional sports leagues don't always act in the best interest of their players. So that's something else we're going to have to watch in the coming weeks with the increased risks that the players are going to be taking playing. in these games, they need some guarantees and some assurances. So that'll be the next thing, I think. You know, after the league votes and they decide what they want to do, we really have to pay attention to what the players will agree to.
Health insurance, man.
Exactly. I mean, it's all on the table now.
If you're playing in the middle of a pandemic, you need health insurance, and you also need it for your family, because that's who you're going home to after work.
Well, and we know one of the provisions of their last counter proposal was a minimum salary for next season. So, you know, these are all things that, you know, we have to get ironed out.
I hope they do. The thing is that I don't think as we said last time, I don't think the claims of the players are anything too terribly outrageous. I think they're reasonable. I hope, you know, and we all know that there's going to be some teams that don't agree because they can't afford it. But again, maybe they shouldn't be in second division. Maybe they should be third.
Well, and that is actually, you know, one of the benefits now that USL is expanding, and they've got the three different divisions right now and the youth league. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe if two of the teams out of all of the teams are dead set against this, maybe you say, okay, well, you two need to go down a division. Maybe there's a forward Madison or someone like that who's chomping at the bit, and they, you know, they've had a little success. Maybe they're ready to come up. I think the expanded vision of USL may help with these items.
I can't argue with that whatsoever. And, you know, if USL is still serious about a women's league, that's going to be coming around soon. You know, that they've got to start preparing for that as well, because the women are going to earn and deserve exactly the same rights.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of parallels between, let's say, second division men and first division women. They're not getting the money they need to get. And there are legitimate issues about how much money it brings in and things like that. But all these unions and players associations should be working together and learning a lot from each other. And I think it's going to raise, you know, the standards everywhere, which is what we want ultimately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cannot wait.
Couple other little things. Our friend Juice, the assistant coach at Fire and Ice, he's taken a role with the Scott Gallagher on the east side in the ECLN. Is that the right acronym? ECNL. I never get it right.
There's so many acronyms in soccer. It's yeah. Ridiculous. But for those who don't know, Juice's full name is Jarius Holmes.
Right. he played with the Lions back when. Great guy.
He played for Austin Aztecs in USL. Played for under Paul Dalglish
before. Oh, I didn't even know that.
In that season that Austin was flooded out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
He's been with Lindsay since the beginning at Fire and Ice. We met him a long time ago. Really good guy, and we wish him the great success with now that he's taken a step over to SLSG. I don't know. Not a lot of other big stories. We've all, you know, just kind of been holding on for dear life. We do have some questions and comments if you guys want to go through that, and maybe we'll get some stuff there.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we basically became a current affairs podcast, haven't we? I mean,
yeah.
I cannot wait until we get back to talking soccer. And
I know.
And hopefully it stays positive like the season started for us.
Exactly. It's been so long. It's like that was last season. Aaron Mednick, he wants to know what your favorite old school celebrity death match was, you know, the MTV show. And
oh wow.
The thing that made me think of, and this is going to show how old I am, back when I first started getting on the internet, one of my favorite websites was WWF, sort of a play on the WWF, which shows you how old it was, because it was before it was the WWE. They had Grudge Match. And every week, these two kids from, I believe it was MIT, would throw out a crazy scenario and would take votes on who would win. This is like before you even had animation on the web, because nobody had over, 56K. But like one of my favorite ones was who would win a Rottweiler covered in hot sauce versus a Rottweiler's weight in Chihuahuas. And, you know, then people would just vote and leave comments and like try to sway people. And at the end of the week, they would announce who the winner was based on the best comments and the best whatever. So I'm too old for celebrity deathmatch. I'm going with the old school text adventure grudge match on the internet.
That was, when MTV was hot for us. So it was kind of, it's very dated as you look back. I mean, I had to look up the matches, Hillary Clinton versus Monica Lewinsky. That doesn't age well. Liam Gallagher versus Noel Gallagher, the brothers in Oasis.
That's a good one, yeah.
They're still going at it.
Yeah, I was going to say they still are. And looking at the notes, I immediately remembered, I think that was my favorite because the end of that fight was the comedian Gallagher smashing both their heads. So
that's good.
So I think I'm going with that one, A, because it stands the test of time, B, because it's Oasis, one of my favorite bands, and anytime that they're smashing with a hammer, it's automatically good.
I didn't get Celebrity Deathmatch on MTV Europe. We did get our news girl, our version of Kurt, was it Kurt Lauder? Our version of that was a chick called Davina McCall, and she was smoking. Google her, Davina McCall. did you see the Kurt Lauder 70 years of age?
Yeah.
We were talking about that.
My God.
In a little friend group chat we had, when he was on TV, back in the day, he was younger than I am now.
Yeah.
And we thought we knew he was older.
He was the old guy, yeah.
But it was like, oh, he's, at the time we thought, oh, he's 30, he's whatever. And no, he's old.
Greg Halvex, he wants to know more about the MLS CBA. Well, we talked about it a little bit. There were some more details, and honestly, I didn't write them down. I mean, there's a graduated pay increase, like in 2021, they get a little more in 2022. It ramps up the salary floor, which is good. I know they're getting a percentage of they're calling it revenue sharing, but it's paid to the players in form of salary, I believe, based on how big the next TV rights deal is and things like that. I mean, there's some good stuff in there, but honestly, I just haven't made that switch in my mind to become an MLS podcast. I know we're going to have to do it. I know,
it's if 2 years away.
If This Is Silly survives, we will be covering MLS. And we will throw ourselves into it like we have USL. But honestly, I haven't got into the details yet. I still haven't wanted to learn about, the ins and outs of TAM and GAM. I know they're there. I know I like to make jokes about them, but to really get in and read the details, of allocation order and, super draft and all these things, I'm just not ready for it.
I'm just going to wait until it matters to us. Because right
now, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait until you learn about it, Brad, and then tell me all about it.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do.
We may have a year in between where we don't have USL and we don't have MLS, and that can kind of be our transition year. But right now I don't want to think about it.
Nope. It's too far away still.
Yeah. Matt Baker wants to know, talk about the MLS return to play. We did that a little bit. It's going to be a round robin tournament in Orlando. They were talking about doing that tournament in Orlando and then maybe going back and playing some home games depending on obviously what happens with the coronavirus. I don't know. I don't really know what the plan is now. NWSL, we mentioned, is doing their tournament out in Utah. He wanted to talk about St. Louis FC reaching out to season ticket holders. Yeah, I mean, you guys tell us, you know, comment on Twitter and tag us in it. What do you guys think about going back to the games? Are you comfortable with it? Are you cool with wearing a mask? Are you cool with separating? Maybe, you know, we're going to, you know, obviously we won't be able to have food at the tailgates. We won't be able to do kegs, but maybe we can all stand at our individual cars and drink beer and wave at each other. You know, tell us what your thoughts are. Guy, I mean, you guys kind of on the same page with me, right? Just whatever we have to do, we'll do it.
Yep. That's pretty much. I need it at this point.
Pretty much. Just
you tell me I have to be out there in a, you know, hazmat suit. Well, I'll get on Amazon and order a hazmat suit.
Drew wants to know, honestly, the nothing sometimes provides a perfect workday boost for me. I guess he's talking about us talking about nothing. Well, good. We're glad to help. He'd love a soccer strategy discussion. And I don't know if he's come to the right place for that. He's a 4-4-2 guy with the idea of everybody knows their role and every position can move up or back as the play develops. Key to success. That was the key to success in his playing days. I mean, we've talked about it several times. I'm sort of the opinion that formation means nothing anymore. It's more the style of play the coach wants to run. They may start out in a 4-4-2 or, you know, a 4-5-1 or whatever, you know, they want to look like on the field. But I'm with you as far as, you know, and it goes back to Holland and, you know, total soccer, you know, everybody on the field knowing how to play and being able to slot and slide into positions to help the team win. I think the players today have become much more versatile. I think they have to be. But I guess if I had my wish, my dream play, I want the overlapping fullbacks, you know, creating crosses. I want the big target man up top. But that's just kind of the way I grew up watching the game. You know, I'm by no means saying that's the only way to play the game.
No, I do love, I tell you what I love. I love a good counterattack. I love a good, swift break, you know, 3-4 passes upfield, catches the other team totally off guard. They can't get back in time, and it's just they kind of stroll it into their net at the end. The 4-4-2, just a little variation. I like a guy sitting behind and a fox in the box right in front of him.
Like the, you know, the false just nine kind of thing.
Yeah, just someone that you get him the ball in the 6-yard box and it's a goal every time. Irvin was good at that, but
honestly, I'll take any formation that allows us to win games.
There's nothing better in football than an overlapping fullback. You mentioned it yourself there.
Yeah,
there's nothing, but that, I think that goes back a little bit with the counter attack, a swift break, pace, quickness, fluid transition, gets my motor rolling.
And it always depends on what you have, you know, on your bench. I mean,
yes,
you can only play what you can play, and sometimes, you know, there's a way of playing the game that works for you that maybe isn't ideal or maybe wouldn't work for everybody. That's, you know, that's the coach's job to like find those buttons to push and where to put people out.
I also like risk takers as well. I want a risk taker, someone that's going to try and do something special, and it may not come off. They may lose possession, and might get a bollocking off the coach for losing possession. But I want to see that creativity. Try something different. Try something new. Take a risk, because when it comes off, it's special.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that for years with St. Louis FC. We'd rather lose swinging than, you know, park the bus for 80 minutes and then, you know, give up. You're right. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, Chelsea won championships parking the bus. So if it works, I guess you do what you got to do to win.
But I think that's it, though, is that it all comes down to what you have at your disposal as a coach and how you're going to do it. You know, if, you know, for example, Tritt says, hey, we're going to do this, but he can't do X, Y, and Z because of the roster. Well, he's going to do a modification on that and figure it out. When I was coaching, you know, the youth club, youth teams, you know, we didn't have a lot of talent necessarily to play a traditional 4-4-2. So we went into a diamond formation, which allowed the good guys to take risks and the, I hate to say lesser players, but, you know, if they did the minimum, they could recover and start a transition. So
water carriers, really, not left, the water carriers.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, and I had some kids that, you know, started off, quote unquote, making a career of being a water carrier, and they ended up making their freshman team because they figured out what they could do. They could do it well. And, I mean, you look at somebody like Paul Scholes, you know, a great example. You know, he gave Fergie so much of options and ability to let a Beckham run wild, to let a Ronaldo run wild, that you could do more of that risk taking and take chances because you had those kind of dogged guys behind them. It's,
yeah, I think Scholes also benefited from the fact that he did have Keno behind him to mop it up if the pass didn't come off. You know, I mean, exactly. we do like the enforcer at the back too, you know, the holding midfielder that'll just knock the shit out of anyone that tries to take out the kneecaps of your creative midfielder in front of him.
You mentioned, go ahead.
Damn it, Brad.
Go ahead.
No, and back to Tritt's, I think that is something that we're starting to see, that, you know, we have Wharton and Walfall in the middle, and then you've got those, you know, basically you've got your choice of three beasts in the back center in Toby, Fan, and Sam, who can shut it down if those guys overcommit. So, you know, that hopefully is what we're going to be watching in a few weeks.
And you mentioned the diamond, Mitch. You know, there have been some entertaining diamond teams, and even AC Milan, when they did the, whatever they called it, the Christmas tree. Again, to me, it's never about formation. It's if you've got entertaining players and they find a way to do what's great, you know, I don't care what formation they're playing. I like to watch attractive soccer, which, you know, duh. That's, I mean,
wow,
everybody does.
On a limb there.
But yeah. But I don't think there's necessarily one formation that is the best. I don't know. I think 4-4-2 used to be the way you did it. Like, everybody did it. That's how you had to do it. And soccer before that, it was the, you know, 3-4-3 or what, you know what I mean? Like, it's changed over the years, and I think now we're in a very fluid era of football where, you know, not everybody's playing the same thing, and that's good. That's interesting. That's what makes good matchups, when you see, okay, who's, you know, style is going to dominate or dictate this game. And I think they all sort of give up their shape when they're out there playing, you know, just to make it work out there.
No matter the formation, though, you've got to have a decent spine. You've got to have a solid spine.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Goalkeeper, two centre-backs, holding mid, attacking mid, and a target man up front. And then if you've got a solid spine, you look at Liverpool with Van Dijk, Henderson, Mo Salah, straight up the middle. You know, you talked about United with Vidic and Ferdinand, and then Keane, Scholes, and then Ruud van Nistelrooy up front. Or Wayne Rooney up front, you know, just a very solid center of the park. And that's what's going to win you football matches. I mean, you talked about the great AC Milan team, but any team from AC Milan that's got Maldini, Ruud Gullit, and Marco van Basten up front, they're going to win football games, you know, and you just need that solid spine.
Just line up wherever you want, boys. I'm good with you guys out there. All right. Last question was, and it kind of diverged into its own topic. I think it was PK got a St. Louis FC tire cover for the back of his Jeep.
Yep, it
looks pretty cool.
It does.
And Mark Gardner said he wanted something like that on the trailer, and then it evolved into, why don't we get skull spinner hubcaps? You know, it's a Pimp My Ride episode.
I was going to say, what is this, 2005?
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, guys, do it up. Mark, you know what to do to a trailer to make it hot. You know, he mentioned maybe get one of the wheel covers be a This Is Silly logo, and I think that's appropriate because, you know, our number one sponsor is Mark Gardner, and Mitch, who should I call if I need any electrical work done during the protest and the global pandemic?
It is a great time for you to call your friends at Your Electric. If you call Your Electric for all your residential and commercial needs, Mark Gardner and his team will be happy to take care of you. That's Your Electric. You can find them online at yourelectric.com and at 814-849. Shit. Come on, Google. Oh, well.
He didn't even have it in his Twitter bio. But on Twitter, you can find him at YourElectricSTL and his website, YourElectricSTL.com. So there you go, Mark. I think he just asks questions because he knows we sometimes forget to give him a plug. So when we get to the questions, we'll at least get a plug in there for Your Electric.
Well, now his website has a different phone number than what I usually say, I think, but it's 314-814-3897. That's 314-814-3897.
Give our buddy Mark a call. Even if you don't need electrical work done, just call him. Call him tomorrow when you're listening to this just to tell him hi and that you appreciate his longtime sponsorship of the podcast.
We need one of those radio jingles for him. Call Your Electric.
Yeah, we can work on that.
Yeah, I got time.
We need one of them.
We still haven't gotten an intro for our show, but
no, we're working on it.
7 years later.
We'll eventually get there. Guys, we're out of questions. We're out of news. I mean, everybody's just waiting to see what's going to happen.
That's all you can do at this point. It is wait and see, but as we said early on, there is a light at the end of the tunnel that we're starting
to see. It's aside from, you know, the riots and the pandemic, it's a much happier podcast than last week.
Or the week just before.
Just because we know they're at least talking about playing some soccer. And I think we could all use that.
Oh, my God, yes. And the players could use it, too. I, you know, been in contact with a few of them during this time, and they are chomping at the bit. Had to drop something off at soccer park a few weeks ago and saw the end of a practice. And Joaquin Rivas looks like... He looks like a stallion in a pen that is just wanting to get out and run the pasture as hard as he can. Like,
I can't wait. He was a coiled spring. He was the guy I was most excited to see last year, and then just the year of injuries. I cannot wait to see what he can do, and with the pieces they've got around him, you know, we saw it in that first game. You know, they've got a lot of talent, and I want to see what this team can do. So I hope we hit the ground running, and I hope we get to see a good amount of games to see what this team can do.
And that's the other thing too, is that all this time off has done nothing but give him better chances to strengthen that leg up. So
yeah, I mean, he still wasn't 100% at the beginning of the season. So yeah, he's gotten, I mean,
he's
all would
be 100% now.
All of these bodies needed some rest. Just hope there's not too much rust when they come back.
If they come back shaped like hooligans, then it's been too long.
Yeah,
you'll know it's nearly time for soccer because we'll start getting training injuries.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that. God damn it! But other than that, guys, that's all I got for tonight. Again, thank everybody for listening. I mean, we know it's not really been a soccer show, but. By this time, we're all old friends, and we can have some fun just talking.
And hopefully, the next show or two, we'll be talking about our return. So, I mean, fingers crossed, burn sage, pray to Joe Boo, whatever it takes. let's get this party started.
Amen.
We will see. Hopefully next time we talk to you, we got good news. We'll see you then.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.